my name is Michelle.
Hi, guys. I'm Sudi.
And we are the Power Broke Girls.
Yes. I'm so sorry, guys. I lost my voice.
So y'all gonna have to bear with us. Sudi's gonna go up and down, but she's here all around. All right, y'all?
Yes. How are we feeling tonight? Happy Friday, y'all. We're back again with another episode. ¿Cómo están?
Mi gente latina, ¿cómo estamos ahí?
Mi gente, ¿cómo están? ¿Qué van a hacer este fin de semana?
Everybody's probably like, girl, I need you to...
Alguien me dé un té,
un
algo.
Un té con jengibre y limón.
Esto ya...
Coño.
Se jodió, de verdad, se jodió.
De verdad.
Yes, what's up, guys? So, what are you guys planning for the weekend? I don't know what you guys gonna do. The summer's almost over, so I don't know if you guys are trying to, like, get all your last minute vacations in.
Entanglements in. Summer romances in. Yes. COVID checks. STD checks. You know what I'm saying? We got to start off fall strong.
See, the way my voice sounds, it sounds like I have COVID and an STD.
Like, that's
like
you got
literally
a lot.
What it sounds like.
Yeah.
I have a lot going
it's going
on.
Up and down.
Guys, I have neither one of those, just to be clear. As far as I'm concerned.
She's like, I got my COVID testing and my STD testing.
But for those of you guys who live in Atlantic City, you know, we're always looking out for our people in AC. There is a food drive happening this Saturday, the 15th. It's right in Bacharach Avenue.
The exact address is 1433 Bacharach Boulevard, Atlantic City. It's starting from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's a food drive for our community. So if you know anyone that needs food, be there August 15th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. I would say get there at 9 a.m. You know what I'm saying?
You
know.
You gotta wait. You gotta make that line. And it's free, people. It's all free. For those people who live in Atlantic City, it's by the Renaissance. Like where the Taco Bell and the Kentucky used to be, is right down that street. So feel more than welcome to stop.
It's at Gateway Head Start. So definitely check that out because we are all about community and we're all for the Latino people. And Sudi, don't even get me started because I just watched on Netflix Immigration Nation.
Yep, this is what the episode today is about, guys. We are talking about Immigration Nation on Netflix.
On Netflix, Immigration Nation.
It's a 6-part docuseries for you guys who just want to, like, if you don't have anything planned for this weekend, please, please watch it. It's a must. You have to.
Yes.
You have to.
It's by directors Shaw Suarez and Christina Clausia. So they're like independent directors, and they filmed a lot of different documentaries, and they're big on like a journalist integrity and cinematic quality. So I think that shall help, like if it's biased or not, you know, the people that are directing it, I think it's good to know. So I watched 3 episodes. And the first 3 episodes, I can't even... The first 5 minutes, Sudi, I started crying.
Yeah.
And I was eating, and I lost my appetite. Literally, immediately. It brings you in. It's something that we all know about, but we're so detached to it. So, Sudi, when you first started watching it, tell me, like, what were your emotions? How you feel?
So, I want to tell you guys a quick backstory of how I found out about the show. I mean, I'm seeing it everywhere on Netflix. But, I was like, oh, I'll watch it another time. So I met up with one of my best friends from high school, and she was telling me how her mom got detained by ICE, and her mom was in ICE custody from February all the way to October. She was telling me that they came knocking at her door, and then they just took her mom.
In Atlantic City.
In Atlantic City, guys. So I'm like, what the fuck? How did your mom even is in ICE custody? How does
legal.
That even happen? Your mom's legal. Like, I don't understand. She said that's the same question we were asking the ICE agents and say, how is my mom still there? It doesn't make any sense that my mom is still there with her having a green card, legal green card, legal paperwork, everything. Her mom has been in this country for her entire life, my friend's entire life, and this is the only country she knows. So we're talking about it, and then she's telling me all these things, and I'm furious. I'm like, how is this happening? And she goes, watch Immigration Nation on Netflix, and you're going to find out why. You're going to find out why this happened to my mom and why this is happening to millions and millions of immigrants in the United States.
Whether it's legal or illegal, and that's the sad part. So, Sudi, when you were talking to your best friend from back home when that happened, like, did she tell you anything? Like, did the mom have to... Okay, that's 8 months, first of all. It's from February to October is 8 months. And so your friend, they had money. They were lucky enough to have money to get a lawyer.
Yeah.
So you think that if they didn't have money for a lawyer, that her mom would still be there.
Absolutely. If they did not have money for a lawyer, her mom would still be there. And that was the thing that they were telling her when she got to the immigration office. She was like, oh, here. Like, she was like, okay, I detained her. It must have been a mistake. Here are the paperwork.
Exactly.
She showed them to them. Exactly. And they said, this doesn't mean anything to us. Like,
that's ridiculous.
This don't mean anything. You have to get a lawyer.
It sounds very illegal. It's like, very. It's like, I'm literally providing the documents that you're asking me for, and you're like, nah, that's not it. Because yeah. I think, well, watching the docuseries, you realize that they always have to try to meet a quota. You know how many people they're getting. In 1 week in New York, it was 500 people that they got.
Yep. Guys, this is for real, for real. They have to meet a quota. What you learn in the episode. Okay, so what you learn from ICE is that they were built.
Fuck ICE.
Built in 2003. This was the Bush administration, guys. So when Obama got into office, the plan was already there. ICE was already created there. Because I've heard multiple people say how Obama fucked the American the immigration policy up, but it was already there. Yeah. ICE was created specifically to destroy families, separate families at the border, and send a message to immigrants to not come to the United States.
It was a tactic that they used to deter immigrants from different countries, right? So what I found out that was crazy, Sudi, because I've heard people in this argument, they're like, oh well, the ICE, Obama cracked down on ICE too, don't blame it on Trump. But I didn't know that. Watching this docuseries, I found out that it was during the Trump administration is when they did, when he passed all these executive orders to, it doesn't matter if you have like a violent crime or a petty crime or like a non-violent offense, if you're violating anything, literally a speeding ticket, literally anything, you can get detained and you can get deported back to your country. It doesn't matter how many motherfucking years you're here. And I just found that literally insane.
Yeah.
So, and then all the workers were just like, we're just following orders, and you know, rules always change every day. So, you know?
Yeah. So apparently when ICE was created, it was only supposed to track down criminal, serial criminals.
Gang members.
Yeah, gang members, people who were like huge drug dealers, like shit like that, right? It was supposed to be for that. And we was like, okay, we get it. You're trying to protect the quote unquote American people. I get it. So you're gonna deport people who committed crimes. Like Michelle said, once the Trump administration kicked in, immediately, the amount of people that were getting deported triple.
Yeah.
It like quadrupled by the moment he got into office. So it first started with let's start sending people who committed crimes now. Let's say theft. Okay, even a petty theft crime, let's send them back. Then he goes even further. Okay, people who actually are committing traffic violations are getting reported. Why? Because ICE is now working with the police department. How is that legal? How is that okay? Now, if you can stop for a traffic violation, you forgot to turn your right signal on when you turn and you get stopped by a cop gets all your information. Let's say he knows where you live. He writes all this stuff down. What he does is he calls an ICE agent. ICE agent gives them all the information to an ICE agent. They go right at your door. Hello, sir. Are you so-so? We have a warrant for your arrest. Here you go. And then they get taken to the detention center, which is a holding center.
Yeah. So I think what we should start by talking about to the people listening right now is we don't know our rights. I was watching that and I was very sad. We do not know our rights. A lot of people, and specifically we're talking about the Latinos, because there's obviously illegal immigration from all different countries. But the ones that we focus on a lot here are Latinos, right? Because we're coming, I guess, in a more increasing speed, or that's just how they're portraying it. So Latinos fear on a daily basis people that came here illegally. They fear, so they're trying to just, you know, go below the radar. They're just moving, you know. So when an officer bangs on their door, and then, you know, every single person that opened the door in the document series, they did it mad politely, Sudi. I don't know if you've seen it. They're like, yes? Mm-hmm. ¿Quién es? La policía, abre la puerta. okay, dame un segundo. And they'll let people in. And then some people question, like, where's the warranty? The people that can speak English are like, oh, where's your warrant? And then they're like, oh, I don't have to show you my warrant. Which is illegal. They have to present a warrant for you. So for anyone listening right now, it is your right to not accept that their entry. What they, every single person says, can we come in? You have to grant them that. Accepting into your apartment or your house or your home. If you don't want to, you guys can have the conversation outside. They are, it's not legal for them to enter your house without you consenting to that. So please remember that, because they're like, oh, we're gonna talk for a few minutes. Next thing you know, they're arresting your husband and the whole family, and they're leaving. And the one guy was like, oh, I have to text my job that I can't come to, go to work. Like, I'm over here crying, the little daughter's crying to the father, and next thing you know, they never seen them again.
Yeah. And this is the next question that everybody wants to know, is what happened to the children. What the fuck is happening to these children when they're getting ripped apart from their parents? Guys, it is so... This documentary is broken. Like, six episodes is not enough. Like, no. There's so much to break down that I feel like we're going to need a part two, because it's crazy all the shit that is happening right now under the Trump administration in this country to legal and illegal immigrants from all over the world. And we don't even know it. We don't even know
it. Also, like, the arrests that they're doing on non-criminals have doubled under the Trump administration.
Non-criminal offense. That's so crazy. When they tell you this bullshit lie that ICE is only cracking down on some crazy offense that they have done, it's a lie. People are getting deported over traffic violations, guys, over non-violent crimes. Like, how?
And they have a lot of them have no criminal records before. The people that are in ICE detention facilities, 2/3 of them don't have any other offense besides the fact of them crossing here illegally.
Yep.
So let's talk about it.
That is called what they call in documentary collaterals. So apparently, when you go there, Michelle mentioned the quota, which is actually true. You learned that in the docuseries. They have a quota that they have to meet every single day. They have to detain a certain amount of immigrants per day to meet their quota.
And you hear the main officer, Scott, the one that retired, fucking douchebag, he called up one of the law enforcement ICE people, and then he said, hey, bring me two people today, by any means necessary, I don't care how you bring it in, why you bring it in, just bring them in. And after they hung up, the officer said, did you guys record that? Did he know that we were recording? And they're like, yeah. And he's like, well, that was a very dumb thing to say.
Yep. He was asking for collaterals. He was like, I need two. Just any two.
Any two.
So collaterals are the immigrants who got caught in the process of them arresting
someone else,
another immigrant. So let's say Michelle and I are in the same room and they came to get me. And Michelle is also illegal, right? Because she's right there, they're going to take her too. They didn't even come for her. They came for me. But because she's there and she's a collateral, they're going to arrest her too. So the majority of people who are being deported are collateral immigrants.
And isn't that crazy? Like, and then you see, like, how gleeful some of the officers are. They're like, yes, like, if it's Christmas, like, look, this is helping us have more people. It was like two birds with one stone kind of a scenario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just, go ahead, Sudie.
There was a story about the guy, about the father, who he came to America, build his business. It's a community leader. Everyone in his community loves him. He went, which brings us to the next topic, which is the fear of getting arrested when you go to your immigration appointment. This man shows up to his regular immigration appointment just to check his status, see where his paperwork was. He never made it back home. He got arrested on the spot. Another thing that we're learning is that they are arresting people as they're going for the regular follow-ups. So, like me, I have to go over there and check out my status. Like, hey, I'm okay. Everything is fine. Let's say that they just have to meet the quota that day. We're going to take her in.
It's a ripple effect, because now people are scared to go to their meetings for ICE to see, and then say that they're fearful. They don't go. Guess what? They don't know where their status is at. They miss a couple of appointments. Next thing you know, bam, they got them.
Yeah.
So it's a double-edged sword of what's happening.
Yeah.
So the guy, I don't know, Sudi, if it's the same guy that I was thinking about, but there was the one guy that was an immigrant from, I think, El Salvador, and he was a cop in his country. And he had to come here seeking asylum because the gangs over there were like, we're going to kill you and your whole family. Mm-hmm. So he's been here for like 20 plus years, mm-hmm. has a son, a daughter, a wife. He does everything by the books. He has, he works and everything. He has all his work permits and everything. And then because they were just raiding it, cracking down during the Trump administration, they got him and he went. And they deported him. And he called his son and said, hey, take care of your, you know, your sisters and your mom for me. The son had plans and savings to go to college. He couldn't do that. He had to sell his car. The mom is freaking out because she's like, I don't know if I can pay this expensive rent now because the husband left. And you know what's crazy? The husband, I don't know if it's just him being empathetic or brainwashing, but because he was a cop in El Salvador, he said, like, it's not the police officer's fault that they caught me. He's like, it's a system. It's a system. Don't blame it. Not everybody has a bad heart. And I was like, whoa, like, that's crazy. And you see him, like, with the jumpsuit on and like, tied up and handcuffed. And he still said that. And it's like, I get it. It's a system that we all play a role. But they had this one lawyer, a woman, and she was dropping some facts. Because one thing I want to mention is people being so detached to this, right? It's the system makes it be like that, where it's like, oh, well, I'm just doing my job. Oh, I'm just following orders. Oh, it's the law. I have to do it. And it's like you're holding no accountability to your small part into this in the grand scheme of things. And it was really cool. She said that when you add up all the people just doing their job, it becomes this crazy terrorizing system. And it's yep. And it's so true. People are somewhat unattached. And you know what surprised me, Sudi, is that a lot of these officers, ICE officers that are going, they're Latino.
Yep.
They hire a lot of Latino because, you know, they need translators and they need people to look like them. Mm-hmm. So they're not fearful. Like, oh, look, this officer, look, she's on my side. She's a Latina too, you know?
Yep.
And no, they're brainwashed, these people.
It's literally a tactic that ICE created. It's when you look at it and you break it down.
So political.
You see, it's literally that. And it reminds me of the good cop, bad cop thing that we talk about right now with the Black Lives Matter movement, right? Where we criticize the good cops for not speaking up for the bad cops, because by you not speaking up, you're also participating in the problem. So this people who are working for ICE, who are just saying, I'm just doing my job, I'm just trying to earn some money to feed my family, have good benefits, don't even understand the damage that they're doing to their communities. There were actually ICE agents who said, I understand it because I too have family members who have been deported.
That's great. When he said that, his name is John. I remember that. That stuck out to me. He's like, oh, they don't think I understand. I'm like, my man, you're still really unattached.
It's brainwashed. It's not like an attachment is, yes, that, but it's literally, I don't think you guys understand how brainwashed we have been, conditioned from possibly the moment we are born. We're told what to do, when to say, how not to say, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. So it's
what is American, what is not American.
Yeah. So to them, they're thinking that they're only doing what they're supposed to be doing. And there is a point where your conscience has to kick in. When does your conscience kick in? Good cops, when does your conscience kick in? When you see a bad cop abusing their power. ICE agents, where does your conscience kick in when you're ripping families apart at the borders? Where?
Yeah, I just feel like I hate when people do the argument, and Ben Shapiro does this a lot when he's like, it's facts, not feelings. I'm like, my man, we're not a robot, we're not a computer, we are human beings. Mm-hmm. So to just take feelings out of it and take, it's so inhumane. And the word human is fucking inhumane. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I just hate when people do that. Be like, oh, it's like, no, we are consisted of logic and feelings and emotions and sympathy and empathy. That's what makes us fucking humans. Yeah. We have a fucking beating heart.
Yeah.
But again, Sudi, watching the documentary series, it always brings me back to my teacher in college when they laid out the in-group and out-group theory. And honestly, I see it everywhere. In-group and out-group theory is like, a system that makes people, you know, gravitate towards a group, right? So then if there's another group and that other group gets harmed, that in-group is like, well, they're not part of our group. So it justifies their actions. Mm-hmm, you know what I'm saying? They're out-group. They're not in this group. I have to protect everybody in this group. When in reality, we're all fucking humans.
Go ahead.
No, that's it.
No, and I was going to say, if anybody wants to bring up facts, like if a Ben Shapiro who's listening to this wants to be like, oh, where are the facts? Well, we are dropping the facts as well. The facts are the ICE agents lie to us. The facts are that they lie when they have news conference. They lie. It shows it right there in plain sight. This guy was talking about the amount of people that were arrested. He was like, what are the percentages of the people who are being deported who had criminal history? And they lied and said like 97%, when in reality it was only 32% of the people that they have deported lies. Had a criminal background.
So let's talk about it. They're manipulating people, and this is why I keep going back to this. Yo, knowledge is power, and now people are waking up and they're throwing things out there like a Netflix. You know, they're like, listen, you don't even have to read a book. Watch this hour-long six-part series, and you're gonna know like knowledge, and you're gonna know how to drop facts to these kind of people. It was so gut-wrenching, and I haven't even like finished the whole series. Like, Sudia, I'm 3 episodes in,
and it's only gonna get better, Michelle. Like, it's crazy. So like, one thing that I noticed, I was thinking about, I was like, in the Black community, parents have to worry about whether their sons or daughters are gonna make it back home. They're worrying about they're gonna get shot at every traffic stop. Immigrants have to worry about if each traffic stop is going to be the last stop they have, because they're going to get deported back home. So we're losing in both. Like, anywhere we turn, we're losing. Anywhere we turn, because Donald Trump, the Trump administration, and we keep saying the Trump administration, because it's so connected to it. Literally because of him, ICE has gone crazy. Literally because of him. So when you think about that, when you think about the next traffic stop that you get in as an immigrant, you're like, yo, am I gonna be able to go home and see my kids? They don't even give you the chance to see anybody. Yeah. Like, they treat you like you're a fucking pedophile, like you just raped someone, like you just murdered 20,000 people.
They're like, you can't see your wife and you can't see your kids, and put your hands behind your back. You're like, wait a minute, how did yeah. And a lot of them had to use ankle bracelets, and they had orange jumpsuits. So when people are like, no, this is just a facility, it's not a prison, it's like, no, it is a prison. And one father said that when he, Donald Trump took away his order to separate families for a little bit, because he was getting a lot of pushback. So a few families got like reunited with their kids, right? Yeah. When one of the fathers went, he thought it was going to be like a children's shelter. And when he saw it, he's like, it was a prison, literally, like how I am, you know? Mm-hmm. And even though he did that order to stop his original executive order for some time, there were still hundreds of families that were still separated, Sudi.
Yep. So that's the part that I don't, like, you guys probably have heard or seen in the media when people are like, where are the children? And people are like campaigning. Like, I don't know if you guys heard, like, in New York City, I saw a lot of artists do exhibitions where they like playing the sound of the children's crying.
Oh my God, yes.
And when you see the documentary, you actually put the faces to the sound that you have heard. So what happens is that Donald Trump, obviously, he said anybody who came here illegally gotta go.
Point doesn't matter.
All gotta go. At any point, if you came here, let's find them up. Let's all get them out of here, right? So obviously, the kids are taken away from their parents, because a lot of them were born in the United States, which makes them United States citizens. Anybody who's born here, yes, if you don't know that, you are an American citizen, and you have every single right of as equal as Michelle, as equal as me, as equal as anybody who's a citizen. You have the right. So what happens is that they're separating them, right? They separate mom and dad. There's too many things wrong with that. Too many things. Like, the trauma, the psychological issues, like, all those things are, like, up there, right?
Well, that's, yeah.
But let's talk about when the parents get deported back to wherever they come from. What happened to those kids? Where are they put? Because they're not getting put into the system. They're still being held in ICE captivity centers. That's literally what it is. Just captivity centers. Like, let's not even call it holding centers. Or that's literally just like where they're holding people hostage. So these kids are all of a sudden disappearing.
Yeah.
There's no trace of where the children are. thousands of kids are misplaced.
So it's like 3,000. It's like 3,000 kids now. I remember back then it was like 1,500 kids, and then another report came out like another 1,500 kids are missing. It's like, are you kidding me? And human trafficking's at all time high. Pedophiles rule the world.
So what happens? Yeah, exactly. Pedophiles rule the world. So they're all in cahoots. So you know what happens. These kids all of a sudden disappear. Oh, they might be ending up at fucking Jeffrey Epstein's island somewhere or some wild fuck shit. But what you learn.
Sold on Wayfair.
Yep. What you learn from the docuseries is that was ISIS plan the entire time. It was to send a message to the people back home that, look, you will be separated from your family. Your children will be taken away. Do not come here. The guy actually, there was a few ICE agents who said it in the documentary and didn't even realize it.
They were so proud of it too.
Yeah, they didn't even realize that they actually were fucking up, because people started to hear that. And then when they had like news conference, they were asking the PR person if this was true, and they was like, no, that's not, that's false. They were like,
no, of course not. Why would you think I would do that? It's so offensive.
But the ICE agents themselves said it. It's part of how ICE was built. They literally made it with the Trump administration. There was like, let's send a message to them. They obviously keep coming here because we won't stop. Let's be honest. If you guys see the docuseries, you will see how the line of people who are getting deported versus the line of people who are coming in is almost identical. So the more they send them back, the more people are coming in.
We're gonna try it one more time.
One more motherfucking time, and we're gonna try another motherfucking time.
We're resilient. Okay? People are resilient.
And it's not because we wanna come to this nutty ass fucking country. We don't wanna leave our homes to come fucking here for no fucking reason.
Exactly.
We don't wanna leave what we built over there. People have went to college. People have built businesses. People are leaders in their communities, and they are forced to leave for a million reasons. Like, I don't understand why America think that immigrants want to come here to fucking deal with Karen and deal with police brutality, deal with immigration harassing them. Nobody wants to live that
life. Can we talk about entitlement, though? Like, I know that we're American, and I think that's why I can call it out, because I am American. But, like, people, we have wild egos as Americans. I mean, obviously, you know, I love my country, and that's why I'm criticizing the shit out of it, too, right? Because we only want the best, but to your ego so high that you think like they're taking my jobs and they're doing this and that. It's like you're really falling into this propaganda.
Yeah, it's literally that propaganda that the administration are plotting into Americans' head, that the immigrants are the enemy.
Not the elitists, not the top 1%ers that own everything, not them. It's the people that are coming.
Guys, but you guys have to remember that they're the targeting legal immigrants as well. Like we talked about earlier when I shared a story about my friend, legal immigrants are targeting as well. Immigrants who did everything right. Let me tell you guys.
So what's your excuse now?
There is no such thing as doing it the right way.
Yeah, talk about it.
And we learned this through the docuseries. It's crazy. I was feeling like ashamed a little, because I was like, yo, how did I learn more about immigration through watching this docuseries than through my own experience?
I'm so sad.
I was like, that is so crazy. I've known like so many legal and illegal immigrants here, and I've heard the stories a million times. I've talked about them, how they got here, how they, all these different things, and it took me to watch this to be like, holy shit, this is literally a target on our back.
I'm actually really embarrassed that we haven't gone to a lot of like abolish ICE protests. I after watching this, I'm like, I want to set one up ASAP.
Listen,
ASAPy.
ICE, you going to go. Like,
you have to go.
You have to go. This is not humane. There's nothing right about this. Like,
well, yeah, I mean,
nothing.
They're taking these kids to court, and the kids barely know how to speak. They're like 3, 4, 5 years old. One, they barely know how to speak Spanish. They don't speak English. They barely know how to speak because they just learned how to speak because they're young, and they're putting these little headphones on, and they're like, do you know why you're here? Can you nod? And like, they're impressionable as kids asking where their parents are. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what? You're gonna... This little kid's gonna have to make life decisions?
Yep. There was the one little kid who got reunited with his family, right? And it's not because of the beautiful way the immigration do things. The only reason, guys, to go back about the children missing, the only reason why the children got back to their parents, it was because there was not enough room detention centers. Yeah, the pushback, people were not giving up. People were like, you're going to release our babies. We're going to protest every motherfucking day if we have to. But what you learned through the documentary is that they actually didn't have enough room.
They arrested too many people. They arrested too many people at a fast pace
than they ever have done before.
One time they arrested 500 people.
Yep. So they had to return their children back to their parents, right? What happened is, those parents were already deported back. So
now what's happening?
Again, another thing that happens is these kids aren't potty trained. Like Michelle said, some of them can't even speak.
They don't know anything.
They're too young. They don't know anything. So now this is causing trauma to these children.
Oh, let's talk about the psychological warfare. There was this one case that we were watching that the father, he was crying and speaking in Spanish, saying how he came here with his daughter and that his they had to leave because the daughter witnessed her mother's murder in their country. And she had to go to therapy in their country first. And the therapist told the father, whatever you do, just don't get separated from your daughter. Don't leave your daughter because she's going through a really, really hard time right now. And guess what the fuck happened? I separated them.
Yeah.
They, thank God, he was one of the lucky ones in the docuseries that did get reunited with the daughter. But Sudie, I don't know if you've seen that, if you remember, but the daughter's face, she had like such a like glazed, a blank glazed look. And I was just like, and then I remember like, they were like, so what happened? What was it? Talk to me. How was it? Like, what were they saying to you in there? Like, talk. And I'm over here crying because like, I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Not only on the parents, like, because they're going through it too, but the kids, like, how much trauma. And then that one kid that the aunt didn't want to keep him, and like, he was just like, take me back to Guatemala. Like, nobody wants me. My father's locked up. I'm in the limbo. The shelter doesn't want me. My aunt doesn't want me. And the reason why the aunt didn't want him is because she was also an illegal immigrant living in America.
And she was probably afraid.
And she was really scared for her and her baby girl that was just born. You know, and it's like no one wins, and then the nephew's upset with the aunt, and the aunt's upset with the nephew. But in reality, we should be all upset with the system.
Yeah.
And they make it like that for then you blame each other, but not blame you know.
Yep.
Now the mom's like, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't bring my I can't believe I let my son go. You know, and then everybody's blaming themselves.
Yeah. So like the same thing that like to go back to the kids, because that's like. I think there's so many things that just, like, infuriated me, but I think the kids part, I think maybe probably because I know so many people that came here as children, and I know that there's nothing literally that they could have done to avoid coming here. You have no say as a child, so you just have to do what you're told and what your parents are making you do. So, are these ICE agents trained to deal with children? Are they trained to potty train them when they snatch them from their parents? Are they trained? Do they even speak English or the language of these children that they took away from them?
Childhood is so crucial.
I mean, do they speak like the language, not English, but
their native tongue?
They are not equipped to do the exact same way that the police department in the United States is not equipped to deal with mentally ill people, with people who have addiction. Is the exact same way these ICE agents are not equipped to handle these children.
Did you see how when they were showing the ICE officers go through training, they kept like replaying them shooting, you know, like people shooting people over and over again, running and shooting people. It was very like, and I'm like, but where are the classes of you learning how to talk to these kids, to these people, learning how to, you know, talk to human beings? It was just like straight bam with the shooting of the, and I was like, damn, does it have to be like that when you're detaining someone? I mean, probably there's some extreme cases, you know, where people get violent and etc., but I don't know, I would have liked to see other training courses for that to alleviate me questioning if they have the right proper training to talk to these kids, because I don't think so. And I feel like so far the documentary is very detailed, so I feel like if they did have like that training course, they would have showed it that side, because they show people talking. I think they showed some of, overall, I don't like ICE, obviously, but I think they try to show the human side of people working in ICE too, you know. They're like, we have families and I get it, and like I think they try to you know, be like, oh, this is an individual officer's point of view versus a system, you know. I don't know, one of the officers, Brian, was like, oh, I don't like collateral. He was like, my teammates do, but if you're not messing with me, if I go into someone's house and you're illegal, but you're not the person I'm looking for and you don't give me a hard time, I'm not just going to lock you up.
And then
the officer calls him right away.
And then you see his boss call him literally after he just got done saying that and said, I need two collaterals.
Yeah.
And that's what he had to do. That's literally what I do. So, again, whatever they're saying, however they wanted to humanize this, is complete bullshit. Because at the end of the day, you're still being a fucking dick and following rules and following the things that they make.
That literally shows you, like, the whole, yeah, if you're a good person,
so even if you're a good person, doesn't fucking matter. Your intentions don't fucking matter when your actions don't match. It doesn't not matter. Like, no, you're a complete dirtbag, a complete asshole if you work for ICE. Point blank, period. I don't even care if you're the person filing the paperwork. If you're the person like, oh, I was just here getting the kids out of the bus. You're a complete dirtbag. You know exactly what's happening. You know exactly what they're doing to these people. It is not okay. And there are a million others. The same thing I say to these cops. There are a million other career choices you could have done. But you chose to be in that, what do they call it? A necessary evil? One of the guys that was saying that, because he, in the docuseries, was it a docuseries or was it a YouTube thing that we watched? No, it was a docuseries that he said that. Yeah, the guy that was saying that.
Oh, yeah, for Gio, when they learned how much money they can profit off of these detainees.
Yeah.
He was like, it's a necessary evil. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? But Sudi, I want to ask a question, and I guess I'll be playing devil's advocate here. So I started in 2003, right? Mm-hmm. And it had different orders. And obviously during Trump administration, they cracked down harder and they were like, listen, anybody can get it at this point. But before, back then, it was just like, you know, criminals that they were trying to get that were illegal. So say someone got a job at that point, right? They trained for it and they thought in their minds like, hey, listen, I'm cracking down on people that are illegal and they're committing crimes. I don't see a problem here. But then slowly but surely they see it's like, oh, shoot, it's a lot of innocent people, too, that are, you know, getting cracked down, too. But they're like, well, I'm still a good person and I won't be doing that. I'm still a part of it, though, because I started off, you know, wanting to get criminals and stuff. So what do you do if, like, that's what you've been training? That's what you've trained for, like, the last, 17 years. Would you remain at that job or would you try to start a whole new life because you know it's not, like, morally correct as a collective?
Well, the thing about that is that I don't believe that ICE just started being fucked up once Donald Trump got into office. I believe that it was always like this. Mm-hmm. It just got worse.
Yeah.
And now it's being showcased. That's why I say that I think you're a scumbag. I think you're a dirtbag because from the moment it was created, it was not to protect our fucking country. It was not to get rid of criminals. It was literally to crack down on immigration because immigration is a great tool for policy. Whenever you see people running for president, one of the topics is always, what are your stance on immigration? It's always one of those things. It's always been a political thing.
To appease the people.
It has always been that. So from the moment it was created, it was never good. There was nothing good about the organization called ICE. Nothing. So if you were there from the beginning, and if you just got hired now, you are a fucking scumbag. And I'm gonna keep saying it because there's no fucking way you don't know what's going on. There's no way. I cannot fathom to believe that you work for ICE and you don't know what's going on in the same organization that you work in, because you have coworkers who work in different departments. Right, everybody talks. You know what happened to Keisha last weekend?
Not Keisha.
You know what happened to fucking Maria the other day when she was over there hooking up with a guy she wasn't supposed to. So trust me, they know what the fuck is happening in that organization. It just used to stay there.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear it that, oh, now is bad. So you've been there for 10 years and you can't leave now because you invested time. No, fuck that shit. Yeah. I don't want to hear that shit at all. Now, another thing that I've learned.
I think your voice came back.
Another thing that I've learned is that just like the ICE agents have to meet quotas, the immigration judges have to as well. Guys, I don't know.
Did you see how crazy that was?
I don't even know how to explain. And, like, my brain is literally trying to wrap themselves around this because this is happening right now. This is currently happening. Like,
well, the judges are under Jeff Sessions, right?
Guys,
the U.S. Attorney General.
Yes, the judges actually have pretty much no say.
No, yeah.
No say. They have to meet a quota every month for a certain amount of people. did they deport back?
And they literally said in the documentary series, the judge, she said, even if we don't think, even if we don't think they pose a threat and we would want them to stay, they're nervous making the wrong decision under that administration.
Actually, they're nervous because they will get fired. Actually, that's what we've learned, that they will get fired if they do not meet the quota. That's so crazy.
That's fear tactic. That's a fear tactic right there.
Forced to deport these people. And then what does the judge say? I feel so bad. Like, there's nothing I can do. That's just my job.
I still got my job at the end of the day.
I signed up to abide the law. That's what I did. Like,
I need people to really, what? Guys, not law doesn't equal morale. Like, can we talk about that? Okay. Everybody in the fucking documentary series kept saying, that's just the law. Yeah, someone created that law. And that person that created that law isn't a fair, honorable person. They're probably racist and sexist and homophobic and et cetera, et cetera. And they probably have wild egos and power trips. Sudi, I really think a lot of it is power trips. You've seen how these people had, like, smirks on their face and making jokes while people are fucking crying, begging for their families. Like,
if we want to, like, find the way, and that's what I'm saying, like, it's a power trip, yes, and it's like an ego thing, because obviously when people are in position of powers, they feel like they're the man, like they got it. But again, I keep going back to, it's just the way it was designed.
The system,
it was designed that way to brainwash everybody 100%. That works for them and let them know that you are in control. You have the power. You're the man. You're the woman. You got this. So you can do, you can execute whatever rule you want. Actually, no, we are making you do this. Yeah. We are making you believe that you have the power, but you really don't. You're just a fucking puppet that they're using.
Well, yeah. And like, how about that one guy? He was, he said, yeah, sometimes I doubt my decisions, and like after they get deported, I'm like, whoops, that might have not been the best move. They were harmless. Like, what do you mean, whoops? There's a whole family. Like, you're not hurting one person. You're hurting him, his kids, the family, every single person there, the job that he was working at. So for them to, that's how you know how detached they are from the situation. If they can just be like, oops, next time.
Yep. You know what I was thinking? I was like, the United States, like, literally, I try to have faith in the human race, like, for real. But see how the same tactics are being repetitive over and over again. The same tactics that was used with slavery are just being shifted into a different format, and now they're using it for exactly, like. Do you guys know that in a detention center, they're not jails, but they're wearing
orange jumpsuits,
handcuffs,
yeah, cuffs on the legs,
everything that you will find in prison, but it's not a prison, it's in a detention center. They are working for other corporations.
Yeah.
So the immigrants who are waiting to hear their sentencing, because they have to wait. So that's what's called holding centers, because they're waiting for the judges, and the judges takes months to years. It is not a week or 2 weeks
in a limbo.
They are there for months and weeks, guys. And if you actually are in prison, you have more rights than those illegal immigrants who are in detention centers, because at least you get to talk to your lawyer gets to tell you what's going on. Yeah. You have some type of a back and forth with the police, with the detention centers, right?
I mean, think about all the people that don't know the language. They're probably like, their minds, they don't know what day it is, they don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
They're working 16 hours to make $1 a day. And the dude that was saying that, Joe, they blocked out his last name, he literally had a grin on his face. He's like, well, you guys can work overtime, make $2. Like, damn, that's how detached you are, bro. Guys, $1.
Modern day slavery.
It really is.
It literally is that. You have these immigrants waiting to hear back, and they're working for these corporations, making fucking soap, making razor blades, like all this fucking shit.
I'm trying to figure out, why are you waiting so long? Like, what's it taking so long?
You guys have all their info. That's how you arrested them, right?
They got papers, but they don't have papers. They don't have papers, let them go back to their country.
You know this.
So what's the limbo? Exactly. They want to profit off of it. Yep. They want to make money.
Guys, there are over 40 holding centers, hostage centers in the United States. Over 40. Only 5 of them are owned by ICE. Only 5.
So all
the rest are privately owned.
So that raises so many red flags. Like, we really have to talk about this. We're like, what's going on? But I think it's because we don't know the facts. We just know, oh, ICE is bad. People don't really do the research. And again, even people that care like us, we are attached to a certain amount as well, you know? So that's why I'm so happy for things like this docuseries. And I hope all of you guys, please check it out. It's called Immigration Nation on Netflix. It's an hour long, each episode, 6 episodes. But you're going to be fully in. You might binge it. So you binged on it, right? And you just watched it all the way through. I'm probably going to finish the rest and talk to you guys about it in next week's episode. But honestly, do it, guys.
Yeah. Para mi gente que no saben de sus leyes, de verdad que tienen que informarse. Y si su hijo está escuchando esto o alguien está escuchando este podcast episode y lo están escuchando en inglés, por favor, trasládenlo en español a sus tíos, a sus mamás, a sus abuelas, porque esa es la información que ellos tienen que saber. Hagan que ellos vean ese docuseries. Lo pueden poner en español si quieren, pero mi gente, tenemos que informarnos. No podemos estar ahí con miedo. Sí, yo entiendo el miedo, yo lo entiendo. Nosotros vinimos aquí y queremos quedarnos aquí porque tenemos que mantener a nuestra familia.
Sí.
Yo entiendo el miedo, pero también nosotros tenemos rights. Nosotros tenemos derechos. Todos los que están aquí tenemos derecho. Aunque te metan preso, tú tienes derecho. Tienes derecho a hablar con un abogado. Tienes derecho de hacer llamadas. Tienes derecho de hacer preguntas. So, por favor, infórmense y vean el documentary. Se llama La Nación de Inmigrantes, Immigration Nation, en Netflix.
Y cuando la policía están ahí en la puerta y ellos tocan, how do you say you don't want to go in?
Usted no tiene que decirle que entre. Eso, por favor, si no han escuchado nada de esto, esta es la parte más importante. Sí. Si ICE llega y toca a su puerta, ellos no se van a identificar como ICE. Le van a decir que es la policía. Eso es falso. De todas maneras, si la policía me está tocando mi puerta, yo no le voy a abrir la puerta de todas maneras. No me interesa si eres ICE, si eres FBI.
Tú tienes que preguntar.
Yo voy a preguntar, what do you need? ¿Por qué estás aquí? ¿A quién estás buscando?
Pero pregunta a cuál organization, de cuál forma de policía es.
Ya tienes que preguntarle cuál es la forma, y si ellos te dicen puedo entrar a tu casa, tú tienes el derecho de decirles
que no. Pues no hablas tú afuera y yo adentro la puerta.
Ya hablamos. Sí, tú puedes hablar muy bien.
Habla
el
afuera.
Yo tengo el people, yo te puedo ver por el people. Si tú quieres, yo te pongo en el speaker volume thing, like we do in New York, that we have it.
El minuto que ellos te preguntan, oh, yo puedo ir adentro, y tú dices sí, ya tú te das el consent.
Ya tú le diste el derecho para que ellos entren a tu casa. Cuando ellos entran a tu casa, ya te jodiste.
Y ellos pueden arrest you on the spot.
Te van a arrestar ahí, mimito. Y no di que, oh, déjame ya buscar.
No, señores. No puedes hablar con tu hijo, tu esposa, nada.
Te van a llevar.
Y es ilegal para ellos pueden entrar a tu casa si ellos no tienen un warrant. Un papel. Que, ¿cómo se dice warrant en español?
Un warrant es...
como un papel que dice que ellos tienen el derecho para entrar a tu casa, porque ellos tienen que preguntar, investigar si tú tienes que ir para la cárcel o no. Se llama warrant en inglés, pero tú sabes de Spanglish que estamos hablando aquí. Vamos a ver.
Oh, warrant es una orden.
Una orden
de arresto.
So, te recuerda los derechos latinos, porque yo sé que nosotros estamos viviendo en miedo siempre, pero somos humanos y tenemos derechos humanos también, y no tenemos que vivir en miedo. So.
Ya, y para mi gente que no son latinos, no pienses que esto no es para ti. Si tú eres inmigrante de Nicaragua, si tú eres inmigrante de Brasil, si tú eres inmigrante de África, si eres inmigrante de cualquier país en China, tú eres inmigrante, no importa. Ellos te ven de la misma manera y esto va a ti también.
Así mismo.
So tell your parents, if you're from Ghana, if you're from Liberia, if you're from Brazil, that they are also at risk as well.
Russia, Romania, be careful, guys, please. Just be careful. Do your research. Knowledge is power. Thank you guys so much for listening to us. Again, check it out, Immigration Nation on Netflix. And we'll see you guys next time.
See you guys so much. Be safe and stay with your families as much as you can, guys.
Have a great weekend.
Bye.